Blog Talk Radio.
Skyrocketing healthcare and insurance costs. Extremely modest gains against chronic disease. Thousands die yearly due to drug reactions. What can be done? Thomas Edison is quoted as declaring, "The doctor of the future will give no medicine, but interest his patients in diet and nutrition, exercise, and the care of the human frame. He will teach them about the cause of all disease. The doctors of the future are here." Welcome to Blue Zone Wellness with your host, Keith Henry, ND, one of the doctors of the future.
Welcome to Blue Zone Wellness this afternoon. Thank you for listening. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry, here on this wonderful, beautiful Sunday afternoon in Orlando, Florida area. Thank you for joining me again, and I ask that you would join me every Sunday afternoon right here on BlueZoneWellness.org from 4 to 5 p.m. Again, that's every Sunday afternoon as we discuss insights into natural medicine and alternative therapies. We have a very interesting show for you today. We think you'll find it very, very enlightening and informative. In fact, during our first segment, we're going to talk about, again, which is our week in review segment, our week in natural news review segment. This is where we talk about any articles that have come out in the past week dealing directly with health and natural health and natural remedies, and even information that comes out that I think will be very important to you that you may find interesting or information that may be pertinent to your health and the health of your family. And we have three articles today in the Week in Natural News Review segment, which is our first segment, where we'll be talking about how children who are obese, when they become adults, how they have a 50% greater likelihood of being sick with certain diseases as opposed to those who were not obese when they were young. So we're going to talk about a couple of articles that came out dealing with some studies in that area. Also, we're going to talk a little bit more on the second article about children, and where we'll look at some research on how poor sleep actually increases insulin resistance and increases the risk for diabetes and heart disease in teens. Also, not only in teens, but it will also do it in those who are not teens. But the article was specifically dealing with how it increases the likelihood of diabetes and heart disease and risk in teens. And finally, we are going to talk about in this first segment the dangers of root canals. That's right, the dangers of root canals. Very fascinating article by a dentist who's been practicing dentistry for more than 50 years. Over the years, I've heard things on and off about root canals and about the dangers that they pose to our health and just poor dental hygiene in general. There are many studies that shows how poor dental hygiene can affect heart and other areas of the body. And again, this plays right into the idea of those of us who practice natural medicine, in that we look at the body from a holistic perspective. We don't look at it just from if you have a headache where the problem is necessarily just in your head or et cetera. We realize that the body does not function. No area, no organ or system of the body functions alone. It functions in tandem or synergistic activity with the rest of the body. So it's very, very interesting with respect to that. Very interesting article. In our second segment, the healing food segment, which we typically would talk about a food, a particular fruit or vegetable, et cetera, and talk about the benefits of it, we're going to actually merge that today with the segment that we've been talking about on the benefit of foods, or rather of vitamins. And in this, when we're talking about this, we're going to talk about as we started this series last week on talking about vitamins, the benefit of vitamins, not only the benefit of vitamins, the importance of them in your body, what deficiencies of vitamins can lead to, what diseases deficiencies can lead to, and how also to obtain these particular vitamins in foods. And after that, we're going into talking about minerals, because at the end of the day, almost any disease, a chronic disease, can be traced back to a deficiency, typically a chronic deficiency in some nutrient, be it vitamin, amino acid, mineral, etc. So it's very, very important that we understand that most diseases, or if not all diseases, are simply severe deficiencies, chronic deficiencies of vitamin or nutrients that the body needs to stay healthy, that it needs to operate. You listen to Blue Zone Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. I'd just like to remind you before we get started that you can send me a friend request if you'd like to stay up on some of the natural health information that I put out. at facebook.com/naturedoc. That's facebook.com/naturedoc. Also, you can follow me, if you like, on Twitter at twitter.com/bluezonewellness. That's twitter.com/bluezonewellness. You can listen to the show here live, or you can also listen to the archives on bluezonewellness.org. That's bluezonewellness.org, or also phase3ministries.com. That's PHASE, the number 3, ministries.com. You can also listen to the show there in archives. Or if you're listening on Blog Talk Radio, you can do so on blogtalkradio.com/bluezonewellness. Now, we're going to jump right into this after we come back from this brief message. Don't go anywhere. It's a very, very interesting show. We seem to have a couple of difficulties there with our system here. So what we'll do, we'll just put that off and we'll go ahead and we'll get started and we'll take that break a little later. We'll go ahead and get started with our first article. And this first article is it was published on the 6th, October the 6th, which was yesterday. And it's from naturalnews.com. And the article starts off by saying individuals who struggle with obesity as children are about 50% more likely to develop certain forms of cancer as adults compared to those who were of a normal weight as children. And these are the findings of a new study published in the journals Cancer Epidemiology, Biomarkers and Prevention and Obesity that sheds new light on the long-term health effects of being overweight. Now, of course, if you've listened to Blue Zone Wellness before, you will recognize that we talk often about the importance of what we eat. We talk often about the importance of what we put in our mouths. And we know that what we put in our mouths typically leads to our issues with being overweight. And here is this article, not surprisingly, talks about childhood obesity, which we actually have, some experts say that we're at maybe approaching epidemic levels with childhood obesity in the U.S. And here, this study again from the journals Cancer Epidemiology, Biomarkers and Prevention and Obesity, an article that sheds light on a study that came out dealing with or talking about obese children and how they are about 50% more likely to develop certain kinds of cancer as adults compared to those who were of a normal weight as children. Now, according to the article, Dr. Arai Shemis and Dr. Adai Leba and their colleagues from Tel Aviv University, Sackler Faculty of Medicine, and the Sheba Medical Center in Israel came to this conclusion after evaluating the health data of over 1 million males serving in the Israeli Defense Forces. And the article went on to say that the Israeli Army collected this data while the men served and conducted follow-ups on them for 18 years thereafter, which the team then used to conduct a comparative health analysis. The article goes on to say that after adjusting for outside factors that may have affected the integrity of the data, the team observed that men who had a body mass index, or BMI, above the 84th percentile as children had a 1.42% greater chance or nearly a 50% higher risk of developing either urethral or colorectal cancer compared to children below the 84th percentile. And they went on, the article goes on to say, based on their observations, the team believes that childhood obesity is likely linked to an increased risk of other cancers and health conditions as well. And I would just add to that of course, if we are obese, obesity is an outward sign, if you will, of inner problems. Before we see the problems manifest themselves outwardly, a lot of things are already going on within the body. So if you have someone who is obese or overweight, that is a sign that there are other issues going on in the body. So, of course, it would make perfect sense that their study would bear out that children who are obese and who remain chronic or who remain that way are going to have health problems. And even perhaps because of, depending on how long they may remain obese during their childhood, much of the damage done to the body or the organs of the body may be weakened to such an extent that they're open, that these organs are open to infections and open to cancers and other types of diseases. It just makes sense. To continue with the article, however, it says that though it is unclear from the research whether or not childhood obesity plays a direct role in cancer risk, Dr. Shamis and his team are convinced that there is a definitive link worthy of further investigation. He and his team are currently working on further research, the article says, to identify.
Skyrocketing healthcare and insurance costs. Extremely modest gains against chronic disease. Thousands die yearly due to drug reactions. What can be done? Thomas Edison is quoted as declaring, "The doctor of the future will give no medicine, but interest his patients in diet and nutrition, exercise, and the care of the human frame. He will teach them about the cause of all disease. The doctors of the future are here." Welcome to Blue Zone Wellness with your host, Keith Henry, ND, one of the doctors of the future.
We're back here on Blue Zone Wellness. We had some serious technical difficulties that it took us a while to get worked out. We're sorry about that. We don't really know what happened, but we're back now. We have it worked out. Of course, we lost a significant amount of time, so we're going to have to alter the program just a little bit here. We're going to stay on this first segment, though, and we may not get too as deep into the vitamins and minerals, or rather the vitamins and the importance of them today, as we wanted to, but we're going to stay with this week in natural review. And again, when I left, or before we had the technical difficulties, we were talking about an article that came out just this week on yesterday, talking about how obese children are 50% more likely to develop cancer as compared to children of normal weight. And in another study, we talked about a study out of Israel that proved that. And not only that, the lead author of that study, Dr. Shamis, says we need to examine the questions of whether obesity is a direct risk factor for cancer or a confounding factor for a genetic variation. He goes on to say, quote, "New research should focus on researching the pathogenic link between obesity and cancer and whether losing weight in adulthood could lower the risk," he added. And I can tell you with pretty good certainty that, of course, losing weight in adulthood, if the child has been obese throughout their childhood and adolescence, by losing weight, of course, is going to reduce the likelihood of risk or reduce their risk overall. That's it would seem to be almost common sense. Now, that does not mean necessarily if they've been obese, as I said earlier, for a long amount of time during their entire childhood, that just the pure toxicity of being obese for that long amount of time could actually weaken their organs and make their organs more susceptible to other diseases, or even being obese during that time, it might have created a condition within their system which opens them up to more easily be victims to certain types of viruses or other diseases, etc. Now, the article also goes on to say further, it cites a study out of Scotland, and it goes on to say that a earlier study out of Scotland found a similar link between childhood obesity and adult diseases. It says researchers from the University of Bristol found that overweight children are at an increased risk of developing pancreatic, bladder, lung, respiratory tract, and mouth cancers when they are adults, as well as colorectal, breast, and prostate tumors compared to healthy children. Again, as we talk about here on Blue Zone Wellness, as I said earlier when we talked about the first part of the study, is there are there are consequences to not keeping a close watch over our health, over what we put in our mouth, in our mouths. And here we see studies that are establishing that many times we think that we can feed our children or allow them to eat unhealthily when they're young, and then, well, maybe when they get older, they can, you know, correct their eating habits. But the fact of the matter is, you never know just how much damage can be done that the body may not be able to recover from. And especially in these days and times when the children are not outside as much in the fresh air and the sunshine, where they're playing video games and they're sitting before the television and they're eating things that are even less healthy than in previous times. So, of course, you're going to have these studies that are going to bear out, not only the studies, but you're also going to see it in real life, where the children are getting sicker, they're having diabetes, they're having cancer, they're having cardiovascular issues at earlier and earlier ages. All because, or to a great degree, because of what they're putting in their mouths and not getting exercise, just lifestyle habits. The study went on to say, or the article went on to point out, if the cancer risk among today's young people mimics that of previous generations, our observation suggests that the impact of our current childhood obesity on the cancer burden in the second half of this century may be substantial. Essentially what he's saying is that if things keep going the way that the studies tend to indicate that they're going, then the burden and the frequency of cancer is going to get higher and higher, and no doubt at early and earlier ages, and it's going to put a greater cost on our society as a whole, not only in terms of dollars and cents, but also in terms of emotional costs. You're listening to Blue Zone Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. We had some serious technical issues there earlier. We're sorry about that. We lost, it appears, maybe 10 minutes. I'm not quite sure how much time we lost there. But nevertheless, we have about 30 minutes left. We're going to take a quick break, maybe 30 seconds, and we'll be back right after this brief message.
How do you feel? No, really. How do you feel? Do you feel lively? Are you bursting with energy? Or do you feel run down and suffer from a lack of energy most of the time? Have frequent colds, aches and pains of one sort or another? The fact of the matter is that most people in America are not well. But you can begin to change all of that today by simply visiting the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog of Keith Henry, ND, at www.phase3ministries.com/WordPress. Go there now and explore the wealth of amazing wellness information. That's www.phase3ministries.com/WordPress. The Simple Natural Health Secrets Blog.
Welcome back to Blue Zone Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. Thank you for joining me here on this Sunday afternoon. I'm broadcasting from right outside of Orlando, Florida area. Again, if you would like to call in, you can do so at 917-889-2207. That's 917-889-2207. You can follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/BlueZoneWellness. You can friend request me at facebook.com/NatureDoc. Be sure to visit BlueZoneWellness.org for more information and listening to these shows and archives, as well as phase3ministries.com, P-H-A-S-E, the number 3ministries.com. I have a blog there that's loads and loads of information at the Phase 3 Ministries blog, the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog. Be sure to listen to that. We're going to go right ahead and move on into our second article. And again, because of the delay, because of the technical difficulties that we had, it kind of threw us off a little bit. But we're going to continue on to our next article, which was an article published on October the 5th. It's also from Natural News. We're going to discuss this a little bit. It was entitled Poor Sleep Increases Insulin Resistance, Diabetes, and Heart Disease Risk in Teens. Now, if you look at some of the studies, we've known for years that teens are being diagnosed at more frequent rates with diabetes. They're being found to be insulin resistant. They're being diagnosed with heart disease at 15, 16, and even 9 and 10 years old. And this is not a good sign. And this study points out that poor sleep increases insulin resistance, diabetes and heart disease risk in teens. The article points out that, and it starts off by saying, rather, it is not difficult for most people to understand the importance of a good night's sleep to awaken refreshed and ready to take on the challenges of a new day, but less known is the scientific evidence that explains how poor sleep habits are the root cause behind the development of many chronic diseases in a similar fashion to smoking or eating a nutritionally depleted diet. A growing body of research, the article goes on to point out, studies over the past 5 to 10 years has implicated insufficient and poor quality sleep with increased risk for overweight and obesity, cancer, and cognitive decline. Here it goes back to one of those 8 laws of health that we talked about, as it does in the first article. Those laws of health are trust in the Creator, sunshine, exercise, water, air, diet, and self-control or temperance. The first article that we discussed dealt with diet or nutrition or the way that we eat. This article in the Week in National News Review that we're talking about this time deals with the health law of sleep. And we talked about here that when you follow these laws of health and you apply them in a scientific fashion, then you are the result, the end result is good health. If you don't follow these laws of health, then the end result will be sickness, disease, and finally death, premature death. And so here we have, again, this new study talking about how those teens who don't get enough sleep or who get insufficient or rather poor quality sleep have an increased risk of overweight, obesity, cancer, and cognitive decline. In other words, it reduces your ability, your intellect, and your intelligence. The article goes on to point out that 2 important research bodies have been released that implicate poor sleep with increased risk of insulin resistance, leading to full-blown diabetes as well as higher incidence of heart disease beginning in adolescence through the teen and young adult years. And I'm quoting the article. The article goes on to say, researchers from the University of Pittsburgh Department of Psychiatry have published the result of a study in the journal Sleep, suggesting that increasing the amount of sleep that teenagers get could improve their insulin resistance and prevent the future onset of diabetes. Now, insulin resistance is usually what I would say is the first stage or the warning stage of what is ultimately going to be diabetes. And it goes from insulin resistance to being pre-diabetic, and then from being pre-diabetic to having full-blown diabetes. And here's a study saying that by increasing the sleep, the amount of sleep, and or the quality of sleep could actually help reduce the likelihood of teens developing or becoming insulin resistant. In other words, parents, if you don't want your children to develop diabetes or to become or have a higher risk for developing diabetes, which, by the way, is not a disease to sneeze at. It is the number one cause of blindness. Disease-based blindness, macular degeneration, some of these other issues that we have is diabetes. And not only that, many times you will see people having to have their limb lopped off because of circulation is not getting there and the retarded circulation associated with diabetes. And so diabetes, and not only that, diabetes can actually kill you. So diabetes is not, even though you may hear it frequently and may become used to hearing it, that does not mean that it's still not a disease to sneeze at. It's a very serious disease. And so here, doing something as simple as getting more sleep and having and getting uninterrupted and a high quality of sleep can actually help reduce diabetes in your children as well as yourself. The article goes on to point out that the study author, Dr. Karen Matthews, noted, quote, high levels of insulin resistance can lead to the development of diabetes. We found that if teens that normally get 6 hours of sleep per night get 1 extra hour of sleep, they would improve insulin resistance by 9%. The study team tracked the sleep patterns, the article says, and also the duration and insulin resistance levels of 245 healthy high school teens. The participants in this study had their fasting blood glucose tested and kept a sleep log for a period of a week. Weekday sleep duration, according to the studies, averaged about 6.4 hours, which was significantly lower than times recorded on the weekends. This study actually demonstrated, according to this article, that higher insulin resistance is associated with shorter sleep duration, independent of what your race is, independent of what your age may be, independent of your gender or even your waist circumference and your body mass index. So the sleep was so important that it didn't matter, or the lack thereof, was so important in it that your age, your race, your gender, nor your waist circumference or your body mass could hinder the benefits or the destruction of the lack of getting enough sleep, according to this study. So it's very interesting that you, or it's very important rather, that you take into account the importance of sleep. As we said before, I believe in basing healing, all healing, on those laws of health, those eight laws of health. A scientific application of those laws of health will prevent or cure pretty much any disease if the disease has not progressed to the extent until it's too late. And so this is why we talk about trust in the Creator, sunshine, exercise, water, air, rest, diet, and self-control. And the first two articles that we've dealt with both diet, which is your nutrition, and how bad nutrition or having a habitually bad way of eating and drinking, etc., can affect the health of even children. We've been talking about adolescents and children. And not only that, the second article has demonstrated how even not getting enough sleep or getting the right amount, the quality of sleep, can actually set children up and adolescents up for other diseases. Not only that, and even though the study was primarily for dealing with adolescents, it's all the same is true for anyone. And now, finally, the article cites an independent study published in the Canadian Medical Association Journal where scientists found an association between sleep disturbance and cardiovascular risk in adolescents as determined by high cholesterol levels, increased body mass index, and hypertension. So here we have another issue with lack of sleep in adolescents or young people, teenagers, to where when they're not getting enough sleep, when they have sleep disturbance, they're finding that they are at a greater risk of cardiovascular problems as determined by high cholesterol levels and increased body mass index and hypertension. According to the article, researchers determined that 20% of adolescents have significant sleep problems, such as sleep disturbances or sleep deprivation, which was associated with a higher cholesterol level, higher BMI, larger weight size, higher blood pressure, and an increased risk of hypertension, all associated with not getting enough high-quality sleep. So who would have thought, who would have imagined that one of those health laws that we talk about here and that we believe in practicing, sleep, could affect the body in such a way that it could cause you to have a higher risk of diabetes, that it could cause you to have a higher risk of high cholesterol, increased body mass index, hypertension, and other cardiovascular issues, all connected with lack of sleep. Finally, the article goes on to conclude that researchers conducted, and I'm quoting here, that sleep disturbance in adolescents may significantly impact their cardiovascular risk in adulthood. Efforts to improve sleep habits early in life could be important for the prevention of cardiovascular disease. It says that children, teens, and young adults typically demonstrate poor sleep habits due to increased stress and workload from studies and peer pressure. Additionally, they went on to point out diet is frequently suboptimal, placing them at even greater risk of chronic health issues later in life. This is true. And the article concludes by saying, this body of research clearly demonstrates the need to encourage a sound night's sleep of between 7 and 9 hours to lower risk of insulin resistance, diabetes, and heart disease in adolescents and teens. So, young people, if you're listening, or parents, you need to understand that just because they're teens, the body does not recognize that. Disease does not recognize that. They will not get a free ride. It will catch up with them. These habits established early on are hard to break. It does damage to the body. And this is why it's very, very important to understand when we talk about the laws of health, that we need to follow them. We need to follow them consistently. And not only the one that we're dealing with today, which is rather in these two articles, with sleep, the importance of sleep, and also the importance of nutrition, but all of the laws of health, trust in the Creator, exercise, water, air, rest, diet, and self-control, temperance. My name is Dr. Keith Henry. You're listening to Blue Zone Wellness here, and we're going to move right into our next article here, which is very, very important. I was stunned at some of the information in this article myself. I've done some reading on the importance of root canals and general dental hygiene with respect to our health in general. But this article by Dr. Hal A. Huggins, and it was pulled from Mercola.com. It's entitled How a Root Canal Can Affect Your Health. How a Root Canal Can Affect Your Health. And it is an extremely interesting and informative article. And we're not going to delay anymore. We're going to get right into it and look at exactly what it says. The article goes on talking about, again, Dr. Hal, he's been a dentist. He's been in practice for more than 50 years. And he, in this article, goes on to talk about the dangers of root canal. He starts off by saying, you need a root canal, and then he asks the question, why? And then he says, do you really need a root canal? What are the conventional reasons for performing root canals over the past century? And then he lists the conventional reasons for performing root canals over the past century. One he lists is pain. Number two, deep decay that has invaded the nerve chamber. Number three, trauma, such as getting hit in the mouth with a baseball bat. And number four, discomfort of an unknown reason. And then he goes on to say, what exactly, when you're getting a root canal, are you getting for your money? And then he cites a Mayo Clinic study in conjunction with a dentist by the name of Weston Price. And he says, as recently as 1906, Mayo Clinic, in conjunction with Weston Price, DDS, as head of research for the Dental Association of that time, announced that root canals were a haven for disease-producing bacteria. He goes on to say in this article that six PhDs working with Dr. Price for decades and a team of microbiologists from Mayo Clinic identified these bacteria. He goes on to say, Dr. Hal Huggins in this article goes on to say, again, he's a dentist with more than 50 years of practice. He says Dr. Price implanted root canal fragments under the skin of the belly of 60,000 rabbits. The results, he says, unequivocally prove that diseases of the humans traveling in the root canal teeth could produce the same disease in the rabbit in a matter of weeks. Heart attacks could be transferred 100% of the time, implicating root canals as one of the primary causes of heart disease. So here, from this study, that was a combined study of Dr. Price, who was the head of the Research for Dental Association back in 1906, in conjunction with Mayo Clinic, found that by taking the fragments from root canal fragments, and putting them under the skin of the belly of 60,000 rabbits, they could actually reproduce the same diseases that were in the human beings. And with respect to heart attacks, they were able to transfer it 100% of the time. And in the article, Dr. Hal goes on to ask the question, or rather Dr. Hal Huggins, he says, after pointing this out, he says, does it surprise you that dentistry has been able to keep this secret for over a century? And then he says, consider the liability. He says, ask your dentist about this and watch him or her run and hide and fire you as a patient. He goes on to point out that the fear of license revocation prevents dentists from disclosing what they have been told does not exist. He says that Dr. Price and Mayo identified dozens of diseases related to bacterial toxins created by bacteria in root canals. He says if 1% of the people with root canals and subsequent diseases sued their dentists, all the money in the world would be in the hands of lawyers. Then he goes on to point out how dentists are kept in the dark by conflicting reports by their own associations. He says most dental associations say root canals are 97% successful, while not defining the term successful. He goes on to say that the American Association of Endodontists, the AAE, says only 90% are successful. That's 90% of root canals. And back in 1925, he points out a study by Coolidge that said 95% were successful. Then he goes on to point out further that the Department of Health and Human Services said in 1984 that there is no way to evaluate the success of a root canal. He cites Burkett, who published that only 42% of root canal teeth were mechanically correct in filling the canal. And that was in the U.S. European journals on the topic reported about 30%. Dr. Huggins goes on to point out in talking about the dangers of having root canals done. He cites another study published by Hayden that 87% of 1,500 teeth he studied microscopically were contaminated with bacteria. And he quotes a few other studies there. He goes on to say that most dentists would tell you that a front tooth has a single canal. But Dr. Price, who in the study in conjunction with Mayo Clinic showed, he says that the same front tooth can have as many as 75 auxiliary canals running from the pulp chamber to the outside of the tooth. And then he says, imagine trying to clean 75 canals. Now he says, so how can anyone be sure who's telling the truth? He points then to DNA testing. He says DNA testing is currently recognized as being one of the most dependable methods of identifying anything that is living or dead, for that matter. And he points out how dinosaurs have had their DNA tested, and that whether their template is there, would be dead or alive, he points out. Then he points out, he says that, which brings him to his primary concern as a dentist. He says toxins from these bacteria together with mercury from dental agamemnon have the ability to actually alter our DNA. He goes on to point out deletions, substitutions, additions, lots of things can happen to your DNA molecules or your RNA, which is the carbon copy of the original DNA. He goes on to say that it's the RNA that actually does the work of creating proteins that make up your body. Mess up the RNA, he points out, and you're setting yourself up for disease. But if you alter the DNA of a germ cell, that is sperm or egg, and your children and grandchildren, as long as your family line continues to reproduce, will be forever altered. And he points out that by altering the germ cell, this cannot be reversed. Then he goes on to point out, with DNA alterations readily available due to mercury and bacterial toxins, we now have the opportunity to create many new diseases and or birth defects. And there are many popular diseases today that were not known 1,000 years ago. And he goes on to point out how, that some of these diseases were not even known just 200 years ago. And he points out sickle cell anemia was not around until about 1910, and how multiple sclerosis wasn't known until about 1832. And leukemia came close on the heels of multiple sclerosis. Diabetes, he says, got a strong foothold just after 1900, how heart disease was then becoming more prevalent, up to nearly 10% of the deaths in 1900 were caused by heart disease because it was becoming so prevalent. He says further that today it is given credit for being the number one killer. It is true, cardiovascular diseases are the number one killer in our society. Then he says multiple sclerosis went from an average 8,800 cases per year from 1970 through 1975, and then suddenly skyrocketed 1 year later from 75 to 1976 to 123,000 cases. Now, that is amazing that you have multiple sclerosis that goes from the years 1970 through 1975, 8,800 cases a year, and then in 1976, it shoots up to 123,000. And then this dentist says, are there reasons for these dramatic increases? He says, yes. Unfortunately, dental procedures can be implicated in all of these increases. And then he asks, are all root canals infected with bacteria? He says, today, non-invasive testing of the fluid around a root canal tooth by DNA can tell if pathological bacteria are growing along its root. After extraction of the tooth, he says, pathological bacteria can be identified 100% of the time. So that's basically what he's saying, if we have had a root canal done, and if we wanted to know whether or not the root canals have become infected with bacteria, if you will pull the teeth, as they have in 100% of the cases that they've, the research shows that 100% of the time, pathological or disease caused, that's what pathological means, bacteria can be identified 100% of the time. Then he says, but wait, there's more. It was recently discovered that the bacteria are not confined to the tooth. He says that they tested root fragments and found many bacteria, which is not too surprising. But then he goes on to say, then we tested the periodontal ligament. the attachment between tooth and bone and found even more bacteria. And then he goes on to say that there's no way to get to this area to sterilize it. An even more surprising discovery was that the blood surrounding the tooth also contained bacteria. As much as half an inch around the tooth is highly contaminated. Now, this is a dentist who has been practicing for more than 50 years. And he's telling us and warning us that whenever we have a root canal done, that there's always bacteria there, pathological bacteria or disease-causing bacteria, and that the dentists are simply not telling us, or because they realize that they do, and this profitable procedure is brought into its true light, that may tend to hurt the dental profession significantly. But he's telling and warning, or just giving some of the scientific evidence behind some of the damage and dangers that are caused by these root canals. Now he goes on to say in his article, under what kind of diseases are associated with root canals, he says that we have identified 28 bacteria that the literature reports are related to heart diseases, including heart attack, endocarditis, and heart valve infection. He points out further that neurological diseases are in second place, that's second place following heart diseases and cardiovascular diseases that are connected directly with root canals. He says behind that are neurological diseases, with 23 bacteria reported to be causative or contributing factors. Then he says liver function, kidney, breast, cancer, the list becomes alarming. All of these things are connected with root canals. So he said it is time to inform the public what dentists cannot tell you out of fear of retribution from injured patients and their own association. He said that the Dental Association would move from being one of the most respected professions to the least respected. And then he asked the question in his article, how many people are affected and how? He says, while I cannot list every potential in this article, our figures indicate that over 90% of the patients seeking help for dental-related problems suffer from chronic fatigue, and that's just one example. And he says, how tiring can bacteria be? One group certainly can contribute. They are called porins. He says, few doctors and even fewer humans have ever heard of porins. The word comes from pores. These bacteria drill holes in red blood cells, or pores, that allow hemoglobin to escape into the surrounding blood where the bacteria are lurking to suck up the iron. These bacteria, the porin producers, have a very high appetite for iron, and hemoglobin furnishes a never-ending supply. He says once a red blood cell has a few pores punched in it, a sleeve is inserted as well, such that the red blood cell cannot heal. The red blood cell bleeds to death. Now the liver has to process all that hemoglobin scrap relieved of its iron and calm the body from irritations due to the red blood cell contents being where they do not belong. He points out further in his article that another new kid on the block that may be dentally related to meningitis, which is growing epidemically. He says when reading an article about the need for another meningitis vaccine, he says, I recall seeing meningitis listed as an effect of a few different bacteria that thrive in root canals and cavitations. And so basically, he goes on to point out further that there are many, many diseases that are connected with root canals, the number one being diseases of the heart, the number two being diseases of the nervous system. And he goes on to say, and the reason for this is basically you have a dead tooth that's being left in the body. And anything that's dead and something that's live is going to produce this bacteria. And he goes on to point out how, as a result of this bacteria, many of the diseases are produced in the body. And the Dental Association are trying to keep it secret or simply pretending that it doesn't exist. Finally, he points out that another new one that's been associated with dental implants even is the human papillomavirus, or HPV. He says, we just identified two bacteria associated with HPV in dental implants. And so here you have a issue with this, with these root canals, and the people are not being given the full story. At the end of the article, he asks the question, why not just give antibiotics? And he points out something very, very interesting, and I think is very important for our listeners to know, is that when you say, why not just give antibiotics, he points out because most antibiotics are what are called bacterial, meaning they explode the bacteria, causing even more grief for your immune system. Instead of having one bacterium destroyed, now your system has 100 little pieces called endotoxins to dispose of. Besides, there are other side effects of the use of massive antibiotics, such as the destruction of beneficial gut bacteria, which also dampens your immune system, and this is true. And so here we have a very, very enlightening article. Again, it was from Mercola.com, talking about the dangers, the severe dangers of root canals. Now, we only have about 5 minutes left in the broadcast because of those technical difficulties that we had earlier. We still don't know what happened, but we lost maybe about 10 to 12 minutes, I suppose. But what we'll do, we'll pick up anyway in these last few minutes, and we'll pick up on the benefits. We're talking about, we'll just kind of go over the last little bit that we went over last week with respect to vitamin B and the importance of it in your body. We talked about the richest sources for vitamin B, or riboflavin, and we talked about earlier, let me just back up for a moment, is that whenever you have the B vitamins, what we call the B complex vitamins, they need to be taken all together for greatest benefit. And we talked about how the richest sources in terms of food to get vitamin B or riboflavin is Tortulia yeast, brewer's yeast, almonds, wheat germ. Other good sources also include whole grains, almonds, sunflower seeds, soybeans, and cooked leafy vegetables. Now, what are the functions of vitamin B in your body? Vitamin B aids carbohydrate metabolism. It also works with vitamin A and also your other B vitamins. It's also needed for growth. It's good and for growth and also for good eyes, for good fingernails, beautiful skin and hair. It also helps prevent certain cataracts. And it's also important during pregnancy. We're talking about vitamin B, riboflavin, vitamin B2, rather. Now, what are some of the deficiency symptoms? And we went over this a little bit, this particular one, last week, but because of time, we're just going, these last few minutes, 3 or 4 minutes, we're repeating it. Deficiency symptoms of vitamin B2 include eye problems, itching, burning, sensitivity to light, bloodshot eyes. Let's look at some symptoms that which may be connected to your mouth. You may have sores, a cracking of the lips and corners of your mouth, burning and itching of your mouth, lips, maybe even an inflamed tongue. Other deficiency symptoms of vitamin B2 include oily or dull hair, oily skin, premature wrinkles on your face and your arms, and also split fingernails. Visual disturbances such as sensitivity to light and loss of visual acuity, formation of cataract over time. Other disorders can also be associated with the mucous membranes, even severe anemia as well as dermatitis. You also need vitamin B complex to assimilate it, as well. You need vitamin to assimilate vitamin C. You also need your vitamin B complex and especially your vitamin B2. It's also very crucial in the production of energy. And it's primarily used, vitamin B2 has been used in treating migraine headaches. It's been used in sickle cell anemia as well as cataracts. But if you're using it to help treat cataracts, it's suggested that you do not use more than 10 milligrams a day. And that, again, it is vitamin B2, which is one of your many B-complex vitamins. Now, because of the shortness of time, we're not going to be able to move on to vitamin B3, or also called niacin, and talk about how it, what foods is found in, how to recognize deficiencies of vitamin of B3, how to recognize deficiencies, and also how to know the amounts that you need if indeed you are deficient. Again, we in this third segment, our third segment, where we deal with a healing herb or supplement, over the next few weeks, we plan to be going through our vitamins and talking about the benefits of the vitamins, why they are needed in the body, what their functions are in the body, how to know when you're deficient, what food you can get them from. Again, and next week we plan to be back on our regular schedule. We apologize if you missed anything because of the technical difficulties that we had today. They were totally out of our control. Again, we hope that you would join us next week from 4 to 5 p.m. on Sunday afternoon. And this broadcast will be available, but just take note that although it will be available, there was a spot there where we had some technical difficulties. But I would really, really encourage you to listen again to the information about the root canal. It's very, very crucial information, I believe. And many people who are listening may have had root canals conducted in their mouths. This is something that you really have to consider in terms of your health. Again, I'm Dr. Keith Henry here on Blue Zone Wellness. Hope that you will join us next week, bluezonewellness.org at 4 p.m. Thank you for listening and have a blessed week.